series today, and I'll get to that in a moment. I want to tell you just a little bit about a friend of mine, and some of you know Don Molinari, and I need to let you know that Don was a part of a church in Oak Brook that we were a part of for many years, and then he was down in Joliet. Don passed away this past week, and when Don, this was probably about 20 years ago, it was about 20 years ago, he went to Haiti with us. And one of the things I always remember about this trip to Haiti, we have secret prayer partners. And so you do things to bless your secret prayer partners. So I remember Don and I and Todd were in our bunk in the Haiti Hilton there. And for Haiti, it is the Hilton. And Joe comes in, Joe Bellis comes in, he's got a bag of candy. He has a card that says Joe, and then there's this whole bag of candy. And so people are doing nice things for their prayer partners, so he's like, score, this is great. I don't remember what kind of candy it was. I remember it was chewy. And so he's like being a nice person. He takes out the candy, starts sharing it with me and Todd, and we're all just like, wow, you really scored, and we're chewing the candy. And then we tease him. We're just like, Joe, you're like a kid, like you open the gift before you open the card. He's like, oh yeah, right. And we're, no, really, you should open the card. So he does, and it says, Dear Joe, this is for so-and-so, my secret prayer partner. Please distribute this to all the other team members to give to my secret prayer partner. As long as I live, I always remember Don just like chewing like, okay, I'm not really supposed to be eating this. Just one of the things I remember about Don. Don came off the board. I serve on the board at New Hope for a number of years, and Don came on a number of years ago as well. Don's about 10 years older than I am. And when he came off earlier this year, and he shared that, it was by phone conference, one of the things that he wasn't actually on the phone when I said it, but he's one of many people. I don't know. I've probably taken what has to be far over 100 people, teams that I put together, taken to Haiti. But he was one of the people that when he went, it really was life-changing for him. He was a Vietnam vet, and I just always remember as we'd be driving around, he'd look at the scenery and he'd just say, this so reminds me of Vietnam, because and some of the parts in North Haiti are really beautiful, and that's what he was commenting on. But the point is that he fell in love with Haiti, and he fell in love with the people of Haiti, and he took some of the people in Haiti to be almost like family to him. And he took many people to Haiti, and he did so much work down there and on a lot of different trips, and ended up serving on the board for many years. But the comment that I made, and one of the, I didn't come up with this saying, but Diana, who was Brent's wife, and he's the director of the ministry, she just loved this. It's a real simple saying, anyone can count the seeds in an apple, but only God can count the apples in a seed. And when I think of Don, of all the people I took to Haiti, that he just went on to do just great things and really made a difference there. Anyone can count the seeds in an apple, but only God can see the fruit that will come somewhere down the road. I'll be going to the wake later today. Some of you know Don, Fran, his wife. I just wanted to mention that to you this morning. And also just to remember a good man, somebody who made a difference, and may that be said of us as well, that anybody could just look at what we are, but the seeds that we plant and what they can become and how they branch out, it's a good thing. This morning we're beginning our series Jeopardy. Now, did you try out for Jeopardy the other day? Yes. So pray for Mike. And remember, tithe, baby. Okay. If you win, tithe. Yeah. Win big and tithe. Think Pavilion. Okay. All right. Moving forward. Yeah. He you would want an air conditioner. That's not a pavilion, that's another church. So, Jeopardy. One of the things about the game Jeopardy is it's not like if you answer the question, you get the money. That's true. But if you answer it wrong, you lose the amount you wager. Not every game show is like that. Some things in life aren't like that. If you're right, you get it. Okay? I remember when I was studying education, and there was this one class I took at Aurora University, and I think the guy's name was Donald Fuhr, and he was just a phenomenal teacher. And I remember he introduced something, and I would use it at youth group. I used it when I student taught, but it's called a risk exercise. And so you come up with 10 true or false questions. And then next to it, you call people's bluff. you have 10 points you can wager on every question. Now, if you're not very sure of your answer, you might not want to wager 10 points. But let's just say you wager 10 points on every true-false question, and you get half of them right and half of them wrong. What would your score be? Zero. Right, a lot of people would think, oh, it's 50. No, because you lose those points. Life is that way. That's how Jeopardy works. There's something that's at risk. And as we tackle some of the tough things that we have to face in our world and some of the things in Scripture, let me suggest to you that that's the way life is, that if we don't face them, we're going to lose out. And we'll come back to that at the very end of the message. But you lose what you wager, or you win what you wager. Life's tough questions. I asked last Sunday, and the series is not set in stone, and I can also make some things, maybe not a whole message, but preaching points within a message. And so these are some of the things that have come in. Why do bad things happen to good people? We won't be the first person to ask that, address that. We won't be the last. Somebody else sent me a text that I thought was intriguing, and it asked, we accept people who wrestle with addictions. We accept people in the church who maybe even have a background of murder. But we as a church don't always accept people who come from a homosexual background. Why is that? We'll tackle that question. What actually happens when people die? You know, that's a tough question to answer, but if we had a volunteer, but then they couldn't tell us either. And I don't know that I trust all of the different books that are written on people's afterlife experiences. Some of them I think are pretty valid, some not so much. You know where I go? I go to Jesus, because Jesus was alive before he came to earth, and I'll stick with what he said. But we'll look at some of these things. There was another game show when we were growing up. Who remembers To Tell the Truth? Yes. It was sponsored by Geritol? How about that? And now we use it. So what a deal. Who is the host of To Tell the Truth? What was that? Bud Collier? Nice. Alan Ludden was password, right? Yeah, we're in the Wayback Machine here, aren't we? That's way back there. Well, here's the point, that the reason I bring up To Tell the Truth. At the end of the, if you never saw it, they would have three people that would come out, and one person was the real person, and the other two were imposters, and then they'd ask questions, and they'd have to try to figure out which one was the real person. And at the end, they'd say, will the real Mike Silverstein please stand up? And it was just always the funniest thing, I think. They'd all fake, like, I'm not going to stand up, and then finally the real person would stand up. Folks, God wants the real you to stand up in 2016. The real you, not your lower self, not the person that you act like when you're with certain people. He wants the real you, the you that he created from the foundation of the world, the you that is distinct from every other person. He wants you to stand up and be the you that he created you to be, not somebody else, not who others expect you to be. I want to tackle some of the tough things that Jesus said along the course of the series. If you have a Bible, you can open up to Luke 9:23. And I don't know why I can't say numbers or books of the Bible right, but I'm looking, this is Luke 9:23. Last week I had issues, and earlier today I had issues, but what can I say? I have issues. Luke 9:23. And this is something that Jesus said that probably we don't preach on a whole lot, because it's one of the harder things. You know, John 3:16 says, whosoever, anybody, and the gate to come to Jesus is wide, but once we come to him, we have to make some decisions if we're really going to follow him. So I make no bones about it, because Jesus didn't. And then here's what he says in Luke 9:23, and then he said to them all, if anyone would come after me. So he's saying, you're here, I know you're listening to me, but if you really want to come after me. Sometimes I differentiate between a believer and a disciple, because a disciple takes on disciplines. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his very self? There's only one you. There's only one you. So that this very self is this person that God dreamt up from the beginning. But he's saying that you could forfeit it. You could lose out on becoming who you're really supposed to be. Now, I'll tell you what. Deny yourself. That's not one of my favorite things. I don't like to say no to other people. I don't like to say no to me. Do you like it when people say no to you? No, we don't. And it's a hard thing. I'll tell you what, I've had this conversation in mixed company, and women tell me that the way that they are raised, it is harder for women to say no than for men to say no. Now, I don't know how anyone could absolutely empirically know that, but I think I understand what they're saying. We're raised to want to please other people. But folks, we need at times to learn how to deny ourselves. I don't think we like to do that. But we have this lower self. That's the way I like to word it. And I'll tell you right now, everybody has a dark side. I'm tempted to have you turn to the person, I'm not going to make you do this, and just say to the person next to you, you know, the Bible says you have a dark side, and I don't want to know about it, okay? But the truth of the matter is that for a lot of us, especially religious types or church types, people who appear to be good people, it's almost like, what do we do with our dark side? You've got one. Trust me, the Bible says it. I've never met anybody who didn't. Here's the thing that a lot of us try to deny that we do. You know, I was watching the Blackhawks hat trick video, and which is just a documentary about some of last season and then where the Stanley Cup went, and it went all over the world because a lot of the Blackhawks are from all over the place. But they're following Duncan Keith around, and he's got his son with him. And he said something very intriguing, and I don't know whether Duncan Keith is a follower of Jesus or not. To my knowledge, he's not. But I liked what he said, because even this whole area of denying yourself, you want to know somebody who trains hard, who denies himself? That's Duncan Keith. The reason why he can stay on the ice probably as long or longer than almost anybody who's ever even played the game. Why? Because he denies himself when he's not in the game. He denies himself when he's working out. He denies himself when he's sitting at the table. But I loved what he said about his son, and he said, aiming to live a selfless life. Wow. Now, you don't normally hear people say that, but that really made an impression on me, that his goal, especially as he looked at his son, was, I want to be, you know what, that's, you know what I think Jesus would say when they hear someone, when he hears someone say that? You're not far from the kingdom of heaven. And I don't know where he's at with his faith, but that impressed me. So is God saying that we can't have fun? I don't think that's what it is at all. I think when we think about our lower self, when we think about our dark side, God's saying, I want to help you with that. Now, I would like for that part to just go away. Or here's the other thing. I would like temptation to go away. And it will one day when I'm dead, but not before that. But I think the key is that God, and we'll talk more about this, he wants us to be dead to the temptation. Because you're not going to get rid of temptation. There are different cultures who've just tried to take away every temptation. The problem is us. We've met the enemy, and it's us. That's the problem. So it's not that God doesn't want us to have fun. That's not the issue. Some of us just like to blame it on other people. The devil made me do it. I'm just having a bad day. I can remember one time in high school, this girl just went off and was just screaming at like four guys, myself and three. I have no idea why. One of her friends just came over. Oh, don't mind her. She's having a bad day. I'm like, I hope she doesn't have another bad day. I mean, that's pretty bad. Randy Stonehill talked about Adolf Hitler and said, I guess he was just having a bad day. No. Folks, there is a dark side that we've got to deal with, and we've got to be honest about it. Now, when I think of this whole thing of denying ourselves, we need to learn to master our desires. We have desires. It's a good thing. And a meek person, according to Scripture, not a weak person, but they are a person who masters their desires, because if we don't master them, they will master us. Now, we just came through a season, Christmas season, and I like to celebrate Christmas. I like to celebrate Christmas from Thanksgiving till a little bit past New Year's. What does that mean? It means I'm going to be in homes where there's spreads of food. And they leave it out for like 9 hours, right? So you just graze. I know why some of you are laughing. Right. You just graze. I mean, you don't need any more, but those shrimp are still there. And God created shrimp, and they are good, okay? We're not in the Old Testament anymore. We can have the shrimp now, Mike, okay? I'm telling you, we're in the New Testament, Mike, okay? But I did not say potato chips. Heidi and I, we brought a bag of potato chips with us a while back. I would not have eaten them, but she had brought them. And I thought, you know, she brought them. I should just eat these, and they're addictive. Okay, so here's the thing. It's a new year. I believe in feasting, but I also believe in fasting. This is one of the things that Jesus talked about that we're not really big fans of. You know, I remember years ago, I said to youth group, I said, you know, self-discipline, it's just not a real popular thing, right? I mean, you don't see people at your high school that wear t-shirts that say discipline rocks, do you? Right? They laughed like you guys did. And then a couple weeks later, they brought me a t-shirt. Self-discipline rocks. And I must have said something about just like a practical thing of, you know, when I was in high school, I learned how to do my laundry. I mean, I've gone on mission trips where I've had teenage girls go, are you okay with doing your laundry? It's kind of like, yeah, I can. You can do laundry? It's like, yeah, because if I didn't, I wouldn't have clean clothes. So I talked about that, and so they put laundry man on the back. That's just one of the ways that I had self-discipline was I learned how to do laundry. And this was Penny Greenwood's daughter, Rachel, and her friend, Jordan. And I think there's one other. And they got t-shirts, too. They had other unpopular things on them that said, I can't remember what it was, but self-control rocks or something like that. And they're the only people with them, and there's no other t-shirt like this in the world because nobody thinks self-discipline rocks. But here's the point. We either discipline ourselves or eventually somebody else will discipline us. I've told teenagers this. You don't want to discipline yourself? I got a plan for you. Go in the military. They'll do it for you, okay? If we don't discipline ourselves, eventually the police department will discipline us. Right, Bob? Oh, I'm just saying. Yes, you try. You try to help out in that. I got a list for you, okay? I got some people that, you know, you could maybe try. We need to purposely deny ourselves. We need to say no to ourselves. That's what fasting is all about. Fasting is not an end to itself. It's an avenue of grace that we say no to food for a while, whether it's one meal a day, a week. Some people go 40 days. I've never done that. Jesus said when you fast. He didn't say if you fast. In other words, if you're going to come after Jesus, this would be a normal discipline in the life of a person. Remember, this is all predicated on if you would come after me. If you want to come after me, you need to deny yourself. And one of the ways is fasting. Now, I know there's a lot of other things you can fast from. And just say no to certain things. And God will give us the grace. And, you know, I'll tell you this. When God calls me to fast, he gives me a grace to say no to things. He really does. Because I know sometimes you're fasting and people will be like, oh, I can't eat in front of you or whatever. No, please stop making a fuss about it because I'm really okay with it because God's given me the grace to say no. And Jesus said, when you fast, don't be like hypocrites and don't make yourself look like you're fasting and, you know, don't bathe and bathe anyway, okay? I mean, that has nothing to do with it, all right? I mean, it's just that's a good discipline too. So bathe, be clean. Put perfume on, cologne on, act like it's no big deal. Don't go around saying to everybody, I'm fasting, but what Jesus did not say was, and lie about it, okay? Because I know a lot of people, they'll just lie about fasting. Well, Jesus said, don't tell anybody. He didn't tell you to lie about it, okay? You can be honest with people. Just say, no, you know, I'm fasting. If you want to share it with people, you can. You don't have to hide it. It's cleansing for the body, and ultimately, fasting is cleansing for the mind. I've heard so many people say, when I fast, stuff just jumps out of the Bible when I read it. It like it turbocharges my Bible reading. All of a sudden, I'm getting stuff out of there that I would not normally have gotten. May 2016, as we deny ourselves, be a time to reboot. Now, I got to tell you this, that Heidi and I, we got a new washer because our old washer, well, it was It was kind of smoking. You know, when you have to call the fire department because of your washing machine, it's time for a new one. So Heidi went and picked one out, and she just wanted an old school one, but no, it's all newfangled now, okay? We wanted an old school washer. So, but she gets this one, get it in her car, we get it installed, and you start it up, and it just like grunts and groans. Who's got one that grunts and groans now? Yeah, it's like we're just like, there's something wrong with this thing. There's something really wrong. And it gets, and it's just like reading the load. It's like, don't read the load, wash the clothes, okay? So it worked. I put my stuff in, and I couldn't tell what it was doing. It was weird, but it was finally done, and it was clean. So I'm like, all right, that's good. I put it in the dryer, done. 4 days later, I went down, and you've got to understand that Heidi's kids come over, and I think their friends come over. I don't know. Our laundry is used a lot, okay? I came, and here's these clothes in there, and there's water in there, and there's clothes, and there's no lights on. That's a red flag, okay? It's like it's dead. I mean, the washing machine was absolutely dead. Dead. I unplugged it, plugged it back in. It did a little, and then it stopped. I checked before that to see if it was the breaker. It wasn't that. There's no button to push. Nothing worked whatsoever. So I informed Heidi of this, and she's like, I knew it. You know, it's just like this newfangled washer. So she goes back to the place and says, you know, we want a new one. It's like, oh, no, you should have been told. We're not going to replace that for you. But so she calls the service department of the company that built it, and they said, well, you have to reboot it. It's like, no, you don't reboot a washer, okay? No, you unplug it for a half hour, and you plug it back in, and then it says, I want to work now, okay? It does need a new motherboard. Now, why does a washing machine need... I mean, when I think washing machine motherboard, I think of my mom washing clothes on a board, okay? I mean, it shouldn't have to have a motherboard, but now we have a new motherboard, so we won't have to reboot it all the time. It's a washing machine. Okay, here's the point of the story. Folks, we can all reboot, okay? It's 2016. Whatever happened, what's past is prologue, okay? God wants us to reboot, to restart. I don't care who you are, what you've done, where you've come from. God says, today is a new day. You can restart. And you don't have to do what the washing machine does, and you don't need a new motherboard, although God does give us a new heart. I just got to tell you this, and it doesn't even fit into the message, but I'll tell you anyway. We got a laptop at home, and it crashed. I mean, it really just froze, crashed. So I took it to my brother to work, and he had this disk to put in so that we could at least get pictures and stuff out. That didn't work, but while he was doing it, it had this graphic up there. And it's like one of those like street signs, okay? It's a triangle. It shows a stick figure sitting in front of at a computer, only his head is going up and down like this. He's hitting the computer with his head. I'm like, that's me. That was me with the computer. I just say that so you can enjoy that. The next thing that Jesus said was, take up your cross. Deny yourself, take up your cross. See, when we think of crosses, it's beautiful, right? It's a nice piece of wood. We can drape things on it, and that's all cool. And a lot of you have crosses around your neck, and some of them cost a lot of money. Some are gold, silver. You might have diamonds, other jewelry in it. In the first century, it was the way that people were executed. It was bloody, it was nasty, and Jesus says, yeah, one of those things, take it. What's his point? He's like, you not only get to deny yourself, you get to die. Oh. And how often do we get to do this, Jesus? Daily, he said. If you would come after me, deny yourself, take up your cross daily. Can you imagine the crowd was thinning out, like a lot of you are starting to think, you know, there's a football game coming on, let's get out of here, okay? See, I wish the world would die to me. I wish temptation would die to me, but Jesus says, no, I got another plan. I want you to die to it. I love Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives within me. In the life I now live in this flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God because he loved me. And he gave himself for me. He loved me and he gave himself for me. That's why Paul said he did it. But you can do it. You can die to your lower self. I like what Paul writes to the church in Rome. In chapter 6, I could almost do it from memory, but I want to get it right. The death Jesus died, this is Romans 6:10. The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God. See, it's not enough to just be dead, though. See, I think that's what some people think. That's what Christianity is all about. Just say no, be dead. Woohoo! Okay, that sounds like fun, right? No, and then Jesus said, and then come follow me. There's a third step to it. Jesus says there's really no room for your lower self if you're going to follow me. There's no place for selfishness. I want to help you with your addictions so that you have time and energy to love people and help them, not cast stones, not point out the faults in other people. Love people. Serve people. Will the real you please stand up? The person that God created you to be. The goal is to be able to follow Jesus. The steps to do it are deny yourself, take up your cross daily, not somebody else's cross. We bear one another's burdens. That's another thing. But you can't try to be somebody else. God just wants you to be you. And how important are you to God? Important enough to send his son. Important enough for Jesus to go to the cross for you. So here's the prescription. Deny yourself, die daily, and then follow. That frees us to love, to give, to live, and to be free. But those are the steps. Now, some of you say, but I really kind of like to save my life. I kind of want to do my own thing. Jesus addressed that. He said, you want to save your life? You lose it. You might even forfeit your whole self. You might forfeit everything about you. And you'd miss God's story. God has a great narrative that he wants to tell. He wants to include you. But the way we get included is we deny ourselves, we die daily, and then we follow. Be a part of God's great narrative. What do you need to die to? That's between you and God. Don't be texting somebody else, you know, I really think you need to die to this, okay? I'm watching my phone. It's probably going off right now. What do you need to die to? What do you need to fast from? You know, I talk to a lot of people who follow Jesus, and they'll just kind of say, you know, something's missing in my spiritual life. Maybe it's fasting. No, it can't be that. I know it's not. Maybe it is. Maybe it's not food. Maybe it's something else. But do you say, I'm not going to have this for a while? Why? No, so you can follow Jesus, so you can spend time with him. The whole point of not eating food is to spend extra time studying scripture and being with Jesus. Ultimately, what's at jeopardy? Jesus said it, your soul. I don't think he's just talking about heaven and hell. I think he's talking about the development of who you are as a person. That's what's at stake. Let's pray. Lord, you have mapped out the prescription for us if we want to live an abundant life. Some of us have reached a point already. Some of us are there now. Some of us aren't there yet. But some of us realize this is good news because we got sick enough of our lower nature. We got sick enough of something else mastering us. And we want you to master us. And we want to master our lower self. We don't want to just master it, but we want to die. And there's a reason why you said die daily, Jesus. And that's because we need to. We need to pick up our cross every day. Lord, there are people around this room that are saying, it's not an easy message, but it's true. For some of it's a reminder. For some, we need to do it for the first time. And so we just want to say to you this morning, we're willing to deny ourselves. We're willing to say no. We're willing to pick up our cross and walk in your footsteps, Jesus, so that we can really follow you. And if we do those things, There's no end to how you can use us. There's no end to the love that we can show the world around us, because we'll be free people. Let us walk in that manner. We pray it in your name. Amen. I want to invite you to stand.